evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It's December 16th, 2021. And I tell you, I was asking the Lord, she said, Lord, I'm going to pick up my Bible here. I'm going to thumb through it. You stop me where you want me to stop me, and I'll read that. And by George, he did do that. And I'm in chapter 19 of Isaiah. Now, I think that it fits because it seems as though we have deserted in this country all of the Christian goodness or the Judeo goodness, and we have gone to gods of Egypt and all kinds of stuff. But let me read this, because this is what the Lord wanted me to read, so I'm going to read it. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the animals of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. You know, just let me stop there a second. Remember when Anubis, years ago, when I wrote that Anubis came down the Thames, and I wrote a Hawk Talon, and Brother Quayle put it up on his website, and then I talked about Anubis coming down the Thames, and the god of death and all of that of the underworld. And then you remember after that, they toured Anubis all around the United States, the statue of Anubis, just to remind you about that, okay? And then if you look at the space program, quote-unquote, the NASA space program, you will find that all kind of stuff dealt with Egyptian symbolism and religions and different things. And because the gods of ancient Egypt, quote-unquote, were the Anunnaki, okay? Same ones in ancient Sumeria, same in the Indus Valley, same in South America. Same some in North America, in Europe, all over the place. So just to let you know, I'll read this again. The bird of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth on a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord, and the Lord of hosts. And the waters shall fall from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up. You know, we've got a little drought problem still in the west, do we not? And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. The paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away, and be no more. The fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brooks shall lament. And they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. You see, we're having trouble with seafood, apparently, as well. Remember when they hit the Japanese power plant, all the radiation spilled in the Pacific Ocean? A lot of the stuff died, okay? Moreover, they that work in the flax and they that weave networks shall be confounded, and they shall be broken into the purpose thereof, and all that make sluices and ponds for fish. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. And how say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? Let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch, or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. And in that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan, and swear to the Lord of hosts, one shall be called the city of destruction. Now, I'll tell you, the Lord has gave me this, I believe, because he wants me to draw corresponding parallels to where we're at now in the United States. And then I would not be without saying is that, Babylon, Mystery Babylon, Babylon, whereas the ships set offshore and watch as the Mystery Babylon is destroyed, Well, I think that's New York City, City of Destruction. So, I mean, it's just, I think you're going to see some things here coming up that's going to take you right to Matthew 24 and Luke 21. And also, we've been talking about the Ezekiel 38, the verse 10, all right? The verse 10, let me read that one more time, because this ties in with everything I've been talking about the last few shows about the Russians and about hunting for them. I'm going to give you more about that tonight. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Well, that land was just attacked with weather weapons, both in the south and then now further up in the Great Plains and across. And I'm going to tell you, it's just incredible, the weather warfare that's ongoing, all right? So, here we have Gog and Magog, which I think is the Russians. If you look at Ezekiel 38, read Ezekiel 38 and 39 tonight. Read Matthew 24, Matthew 25, Luke 21, and read the Revelations. And you should read that if you can with a family member, or maybe should read some of it at the table, okay? At the dinner table. Before you eat, okay? Just read Matthew 24, or Matthew 25, or Luke 21. And give somebody something else besides Hamburger Helper or the cheeseburger to chew on. You know what I mean? Well, if you got something else, that's good. And there's nothing wrong with Hamburger Helper or the cheeseburger. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's American food. Go ahead and eat American food. And I'm going to tell you what. If you look at also, this is what the people have to say, because I'll tell you, I was thinking all last night, and I spent a lot of time looking out, in the darkness to see what's out there in the evening and to protect my property. And if you're not doing that, if everybody sleeps at night completely, if you don't have watches or shifts, then perhaps you need to start thinking about introducing that into your regimen, you see? If you can. may not be able to, but I'm going to tell you what. Then somebody needs to stay up a little bit later and somebody needs to get up a little bit earlier, okay? And that's what I have to say about it. Because what we're getting ready to see is they're coming up to the land of the unwalled villages to take a spoil, to take a spray. And who is it that wants all this stuff to go down? Who wants Ordo Ab Kayo out of the chaos? They're going to sow all of the chaos. Well, you know, the father of all lies is Lucifer, you know, the devil, you know. And then he sits above those that want the New World Order, the Novus Ordo Seclorum, where we have an Egyptian pyramid with the all-seeing eye on top in the capstone, do we not? You see how the Egypt thing ties in as well with that? The all-seeing eye, the capstone, you see. Well, these people that want the New World Order, here's what they really want. Here's what they really want. Just see, let me get the right one here. Well, we'll just say it this way. We shall have world government, whether or not you like it, by conquest or consent. Statement by the Council on Foreign Relations member, James Warburg, to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February 17th, 1950, okay? Our task of creating a socialist America can only succeed when those who would resist us have totally been disarmed. Sarah Brady, chairman of Handgun Control, to Senator Howard Metzenbaum, the National Educator, January 94, page 3. Well, you know, from Centralia, Illinois, these people ought to be a little brighter than that. And Centralia, Illinois, a famed old railroad town that ain't that far from a nice big lake, by the way. They should not be under the task of creating a socialist America. Can only succeed when those who would resist us have been totally disarmed. Well, I'm going to tell you what, do not give it up. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to say it right now. If you do not have a firearm, which it is your God-given right to protect yourself, your family, your property, that's enumerated under the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Okay? Then you should go out and get one. Perhaps if you don't have the money, ask Uncle Joe or Grandpa John or whoever it is, your cousin who has 1,100 different firearms in his collection. Okay? There's guys like that, you know? Maybe 1,100 is a lot, but let's say maybe 300, 200. Ask him if he's got an old 12-gauge pump shotgun that still works and that is clean and oiled and nice, if nothing else. Ask him if he's got a 22 rifle with multiple shots. One shot ones are not that easy to work, but if that's all you had, that would be good too. Or a 22 or a 38 special or whatever, a handgun or a 45, 1911 or a Glock or whatever. Ask them if they got anything extra. And then ask them about getting ammunition for it. And then showing you how to properly use it, the safety and all of the things. But if you do not have it, you will not be able to defend your home or your property. Well, you can. You can get Louisville Sluggers. You can get machetes. You can get those old sickles and scythes. You can get you 10 ball peen hammers. You can take a belt, a stout belt, tighten it up, and you can put hatchets and ball peen hammers and and claw hammers and whatever it else is you got to hand. And you can have a group of three or four, and if a gang rushes you or comes at you, you start pulling them hammers and you start throwing them right straight square at their nose. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to have an effect. The old days of warfare, they used to have the French, the Franks, they used to have hatchet or hammer people who they'd have a whole group, and they'd have 10 or 12 hatchets, and they would throw those. That was like artillery, you see, medium-range artillery. So that can be done. Kitchen knives, all kind of stuff, that is good stuff. Big crescent wrench, whatever it is you got, you fight with it. You fight smart, you fight hard, because there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time when somebody is going to come under martial law, whether it be for a good reason or most likely more of a bad reason. They want to come and vex you. They want to come and take your food, all of that. Or you got the Red Chinese or the Russians or whoever might come here and be invading. But you see, the problem is they're already here. I've been telling you they're already here. But let's talk about the big picture a little bit. Now, here was a good one right here. Under socialism, you would not be allowed to be poor. You would be forcibly fed, clothed, lodged, taught, and employed, whether you liked it or not. If it were discovered that you had not the character and industry enough to be worth all this trouble, you might possibly be executed in a kindly manner. Fabian Socialist Bernard Shaw, in his Intelligent Woman's Guide to Socialism and Capitalism, 1928. You see, they've been telling us for quite a time, you see. And here's what we got to say here. Because the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip citizenry into a patriotic fervor, for patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood just as it narrows the mind. And when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and blood boils with hate and the mind is closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizenry. Rather, the citizenry, infused with fear and blinded by patriotism, will offer up all of their rights under the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done, and I am Caesar. That's Julius Caesar. The other thing is the death. Here's Prince Philip. I must confess that I am tempted to ask for reincarnation as a particularly deadly virus. Okay? Prince Philip, in foreword to If I Were an Animal, United Kingdom, Robert Clark, 1986. Here it is again. In the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation. Oh, yes. Richard M. Gardner here, 1974, Foreign Affairs Magazine. In short, the house of world order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description of reality. But an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. Here it is. This is the bottom line. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. David Spangler, director of the Planetary Initiative, United Nations. Do you see why the Lord had me talk about Egypt and the and all the gods of Egypt and all of that stuff? And here was good old David Rockefeller in 1973 talking about Mao Zedong in the New York Times. It was August the 10th, 73. Whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded not only in producing more efficient and dedicated administration, but also in fostering high morale and community of purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. That's what the Rockefeller people want for you. And they've got their Chinese people coming for you, you know. Oh, it's just amazing, isn't it? You still, here's Hitler during World War II. National Socialism will use its own revolution for establishing a new world order. President George Bush, September 11th, 1990. Some say that if you read some stuff a number of years back about the Scherf family, S-C-H-E-R-F-F, they think that might be Poppy Bush's father, and Poppy Bush may have been the Scherfs, okay, who were friends with all of the old Nazis and who certainly might have been involved under Standard Oil and different things and United Bank, you know, and that kind of stuff. Poppy Bush's, Prescott Bush's daddy preserved all the Tyson Steel profits for them after the war, as they gave the steel to the Krupps and others that made weapons out of them for the Nazis. Anyway, President George Bush, September 11th, 1990, State of the Union Address. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can emerge under a United Nations that performs as envisioned by its founders. Well, if you swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, then why are you promoting a new world order under the United Nations? Unless you believe what Hitler said, I'll go back to that. National Socialism will use its own revolution for establishing a new world order. And then, once again, George Herbert Walker Bush, 1990. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can emerge under United Nations. Do you see where they're wanting to lead you here? Do you see where they want to go and take this? And the fact that the Georgia Guidestones say, population planet Earth, no more than 500 million, in harmony and perpetuity, blah, 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 blah. Georgia Guidestones, up on the hill, up on the mountaintop. But on the other hand, you remember the old Marine Corps ditty? Born on a mountaintop, raised by a bear, got an extra set of jaw teeth, an extra coat of hair. Wear a size 22 and got a 9-foot. I'm a mean, you know what? I'm a Marine, by God. Okay? Do you think that old-time Marines may have known something about the giants that Brother Quails talked about with a double set of jaw teeth? All right? Extra coat of hair. Alright, size 20 shoe, you know, big, giant, raised by the bear, you see. This stuff has been going on and on and on, and Lord Jesus, if you just go to Matthew 24, Luke 21, Revelations, and read what Lord Jesus has to say. Well, Revelations is what Lord Jesus told John of Patmos. Now, where it looks like we're going to go to war, there's information coming out. Al Turner's put some stuff out, all kind of other people putting it out and looking at it. And the fact is, everybody is so focused on Europe and the Ukraine and all of that. But Putin said back months ago, you keep putting these battleships and, you know, these planes and stuff into the Black Sea. And what did he say? The Black Sea is like my Great Lakes. What would happen if I was to go to your Great Lakes? Well, let me tell you something. They're still there. The Russians are still there. And we talked about 2 weeks ago or better now the possibility of one of those Russian vessels, a yacht, a research vessel, a ship, a fishing boat, whatever, but a large one that has the capability of offloading small submarines and also may have missiles on board. Come down the St. Lawrence Seaway, get into Ontario and throughout all the Great Lakes. We've told you all of the stuff. All of the planes have been up looking. And I'm going to tell you what, then I told you last week or so about the Tennessee Valley, about the Smoky Mountains, the Blue Ridge, and how when looking for the Russians, they're looking for them. Let me ask you this question. And it's not a question so much as I'm just going to tell you. 2P8 Pegasus, usually one at a time, has come up into the Tennessee area. Into Tennessee, you have the most sophisticated sub-hunting vessel that is, in this particular case, stationed down there by Treasure Island, you know, by Jacksonville, Florida, and the Georgia, and that area where the sub-bases are at. Our sub-base. And you got those guys that came all the way up into Tennessee. Are they hunting for submarines? Maybe. But they also have sensing devices and the most sophisticated radar sensors, signal intelligence vacuums where they can pick up any radio message or any kind of traffic. And they're doing racetracks in the Smoky Mountains in the Tennessee Valley areas, Tennessee, North Carolina, all right? And then West Virginia and Virginia, where it matches on up, Johnson City, Tennessee, and Bristol, and all of that, and then on over into, Pigeon Forge and Sevier County and Cook County and all of that. And overlooking that whole area. And then one will stay up for a long time. They may even refuel them. And then it will leave and go back to base. And another shows up to do it. Well, why do you bring, what is it? I don't know, maybe 1,000 miles, 1,200 miles. Why do you bring that all the way up? Now, others have been up in, still, you got all kind of aircraft up in the St. Lawrence Seaway, Lake Ontario area. They're going over New York and over Canada. And Canada now has gotten a little more involved, apparently, because they got reminded they're part of NATO, too. Although, Red China Joe, sure gave him the thumb of the nose in Afghanistan, a place like that, and also canceling the XL pipeline. But the fact of the matter is that the Red Chinese own a large portion of the banks and things in Canada. You got a guy up there who is the prime minister, you know, the head dude, you know, Trudeau, who allegedly is the bastard son, allegedly. When his mama's wife or his mama's daddy or husband was playing around with all the young girls and starlets, she went to Cuba, you know, one winter to get out of the cold, so to speak, and ended up allegedly staying quite some time and being friendly with Fidel Castro, all right? Be that as it may, Clarky, me boy. Hats off to you up there, by the way. Keep sending me that Toronto newspaper thing you sent me. That's very interesting, funny stuff sometimes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you about another little thing. You know, the British had a place called Barbados, okay? Now, Barbados is getting to be where they're getting to have total freedom and, you know, independence from the British Commonwealth kind of a situation. They're breaking their ties with Mother Britain, okay, or whatever. Well, that's also been a base for special ops for the British for years. It's a, you know, quieter little place and that kind of stuff. Not as on the beaten path as the Bahamas and the Jamaica and things like that, which fluctuate from time to time. But Barbados has been a British situation. Well, why does a C-17 come from Barbados, go up all the way up into northern New York, up there by the St. Lawrence Seaway area and where it meets Ontario, and why does that come up there and then do a cast, do like a slow run over an area? Is it because they're dropping SAS, Special Air Service, into the region to hunt for the Russians? I'm going to tell you, everybody's looking at Europe and the tanks and all of this and a World War II type of war, a World War II type of war. Over there, that's World War I. Over there, that's World War II as well. But I'm going to say this, that could happen. But before all that happens, don't you think they're going to pop a couple over the United States and do EMP weaponry? Or hit the Tennessee Valley Authority dams, or somewhere blow stuff, power plants along the Great Lakes and industrial production, steel production facility. Oh, they already blew that steel facility. They already had an explosion up there on the Indiana Dunes, didn't they? Oh, or maybe it's that nuclear plant. They come on down New Jersey outside of New York. Or maybe, well, you remember years ago in the Quayle-Hagman report, there was a discussion about a swimmer who was a Muslim swimmer, apparently, who they saw and they found out there, and he had been out there by that very place. So don't you think that the Russians or proxies that they've hired, depending on whether it's Pink Terror, or Red Terror, or whatever it might be called, Gray Terror. And it's the Russians now because they're hunting. You don't send P-8 Pegasus, two of them, into the Tennessee Valley unless you're actually hunting enemy. Now, let me ask you this question. What's more destructive? A bombing run where they do some bombing in a certain area or use some missiles and hit a certain regional area? Or what's more destructive, that or a line of weather weapon storms that has all these tornadoes, you know, all across the southern part, southern and middle part of the United States, and then follow that up again with another huge front that came in and is dumping also in the in California, in the upper reaches, dumping what, you know, 10 foot of snow, 8 foot of snow, totally zoning that area out. And then you have winds whipping and you're overturning tractor trailers and put 500,000 people without power and whip on through, and, you know, tree limbs are down everywhere and buildings are overturned all throughout the Great Plains, and then now also going off into the Ohio Valley after yesterday. That's warfare. That is a warfare. Or a typhoon that hits the Philippines. Well, the Red Chinese might like to just move on in there, huh? Just might like to move on in, right? Or come and give aid, you see. This thing is not defined in a World War II way, certainly not. Not even in a Gulf War way. Not even in a Vietnam War way or a Korean War way or whatever. We're going to have something here more akin to a total knockout of the power grid, releasing of killer diller viruses. Well, let me tell you, knock the power grid out, you'll have everything, you know, out of the blue, come out of the darkness in the virus and bacteria world with no medicine for it, no pharmacies, and all of the food gone and everything in total chaos and in a civil war, and they'll attempt to do martial law, but the fact is they're going to be decapitated likely by Russian or Red Chinese hypersonic weapons, hypersonic missiles. Or they will have nuclear power plants, regular power plants, blown in a saboteur way, plus those 9 or 10 of the key power substations across the United States by Russian or Red Chinese saboteur. The border in the south is open. Coming right on in, baby, you know? Texas, Arizona doing as best they can. But they're coming in. And I'm going to tell you what. There's a reason I've told you about, at least, if nothing else. If nothing else. If you got money, go out and buy, you know, long-term storage food that'll last you 20 years. Freeze-dried, dehydrate, whatever it might be. But if you can't do all of that, you can maybe go to Cabela's or Brass Pro or to a camping supply store, and you can get you. And incidentally, go to the stores, because the online's going to be done here when the electricity goes out. You know what I mean? Now, what also should you think about? Well, how are you going to have light? Well, what did the Lord Jesus tell you in Matthew 25? The wise virgins had oil for their lamps and extra wicks and stuff. You see? They were prepared. They were prepared to go into the marriage with the bridegroom. Whereas the foolish virgins said, oh, give us of your oil, for we don't have enough. And the wise virgins said, not so. Go ye to those that sell and buy for yourselves. And then Lord Jesus says to him, after the door has been shut, the bridegroom shut the door, the wise virgins are in there with the bridegroom, the foolish ones come to the door and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know ye not. That's also a very Christian thing that Lord Jesus said, you see. Because Lord Jesus was telling the truth to those people who were foolish. So why you can't do it. Now I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, will you help me pray? And will all the people out here pray? Will you pray for a woman named B? A woman named B. She is a fantastic woman, a servant of yours, Lord Jesus. Lord, will you touch B, and she's in the Pacific Northwest somewhere. Lord, will you touch B, because she has gotten the COVID stuff. Lord, will you go to her? Will you provide her with medical miracles? Will you root the stuff out? Will you root out the COVID? And will you restore her to full health and function? And while you're at it, Lord, any other problem that she might have medically, Lord, will you provide medical miracles, and also to her spouse, who's a wonderful guy, and a cool, tough guy, too, by the way. Lord Jesus, will you give B the medical miracles, and will you give it to her right now, so that she knows that it is you, and she can feel your power, and she knows that you are with her and that she is with you. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. And we prayed, oh, wonderful. We prayed about a guy named R who was getting a quadruple bypass. We prayed for him. He's back home now after the operation. And I'm going to tell you, give thanks to the Lord Jesus because there's power in the blood of Jesus. And to his wife who has got some ailments, before you go and do what you're talking about doing, just get some good rest and settle your own mind with the beer and with all of the stuff. And I believe your stomach troubles may just correct in and of themselves. Eat properly. Get some Greek yogurt, something to put good flora and fauna into your system, and see if you can't relax before you go. Always go to the doctor if you feel like it, but I'm going to tell you, when you have trauma in a home, in a family, and somebody might pass on, the first thing to do is to seek the Lord Jesus in prayer at our Father in heaven. Lord Jesus told you how to pray to him, didn't he? Go to John 14, all right? Go to John 14. Yes, my brother, on the old Mountain Pass horse ranch. Yes, they're trying to get the Balkans to go kinetic. Absolutely. But that war is about Europe. This war here will take out the United States, and the United States will not be able to play in that war over there. Okay? Not be able to play that war over there. But let's see what else might be here. And yes, that gets the war going. But before all of that, they could just say, no more electricity, United States. Boom, boom, boom. Key bases, hypersonic missiles. Don't make any difference what goes on over there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, more about what's happening off the coast of Alabama. And yes, I know Fort Rucker is in Alabama, as I have told somebody, but I'm going to tell you, you have maybe 20 helicopters off the coastline of Alabama, out off the coastline of the Gulf of Mexico. What are they doing? I guarantee you they're looking for submarines or Russian vessels or something. You see, this country's at war. We have to defend our borders. War is not over there, over there. This time it's going to be here. What you going to do when war comes to town? You see, my old buddy, the old partner down in Texas, we used to sing that song to each other. What you going to do when war comes to town, you know? Well, I'm going to tell you what, you better be ready. And everybody doesn't have to be in the same role. You can have people who are logistics and supply people. You can have nice, kind widow women who will cook a good supper or make a cup of hot coffee for somebody who is trying to protect the neighborhood or the families in the, you know, on the rural road or whatever it might be. But I'm going to tell you what, you can while you still have time. Go to the grocery store tonight, go in the morning, whatever. You can go to the sporting goods store or to the gun shop and buy more ammunition. Well, Hawk, I've got me a box of 20 shells from a 38, you know. Well, that's good for about the first 5 minutes. Maybe. That may not prevent the five guys from coming in every side of your home, you know. But get what you got to eat or to get what your nice-looking family could provide to them after they kill you. And watch your movies on your big screen TV in your man cave. All right? I'm going to tell you what. a minimum amount if you can afford it. But I would always say, and I'm very careful to say that because believe me, I have, sometimes I don't have more than 50 cents to get around the block, you know? People think, oh, well, Hawk, you're on radio, you're maybe a big, no, I don't have no big microphones. I don't have anything like that. You already know that because I don't have smooth, mellow sounds. And I don't talk like that, nor am I trying to talk like that, because I'm trying to do what I was asked to do, is to strike blows against the enemies of Lord Jesus. And secondarily, to warn the remnant of what is to come and how to prepare for it. Yes. War is coming. And Matthew 24 will tell you that. All of these, earthquakes, diverse places, famines, pestilences. We got Omicron now. Omicron, what are they doing? Now they're tweaking the stuff to where it gets, everybody gets it quicker and easier. It's easier to get. Remember, I've told you over the years, since 2004, I've been talking to you. I said on these stuff, Brother Quayle told you before me, they're going to do. Shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you end up dead, right? Brother Quayle's been talking about the, you know, biochem warfare since the 90s. And the fact is, they get it to where you need the vaccine. And Brother Quayle said, they'll give you the first vaccine, then they'll say, oh no, the first one didn't work. We got to give you the second one. Oh, where have we heard that before? And then bingo. Now the booster. Well, the third one might be the kill shot. You don't know. But it sure seems like in the vaccine-related deaths have been understated and underreported on TV when it's now about 400,000 of those related to the vaccines. Not the disease, the vaccines. And now we're hearing that the actual snot thing they stick up your nose, the big spiky swabber, that can be used to give you a vaccine. That can be used, and 50% of those, they test you are false positives anyway. If you can, you need to stay the course preventatively, prophylactically. You need to try to prevent from getting the stuff. Don't wait till you get sick and then take your medicine to cure it, you see? That's the idea that a lot of people have. Oh, I don't take. I'll tell you what. Old Hawk, Mezzosilver. Mezzosilver, why do I bring it up now? Remember Frank Keyes, the guy who owns Purest Colloids? Purest Colloids, C-O-L-L-O-I-D-S. PurestColloids.com, or you go to SteveQuayle.com, click on Mezzosilver, takes you to the website. Highest quality colloidal silver, smallest particle, excellent strength and qualities, purity, and he went out and got an FDA inspector voluntarily to look at his factory, even though he didn't have to. That way there's no question about his stuff. But you remember I told you that Frank Keyes, Purest Colloids, Mezzosilver, was factoring the first SARS outbreak in Hong Kong. SARS-1, right? The viral breakout in Hong Kong. And then it was also more prevalent in Canada, as you recall. After Hong Kong, because there's so many Chinese that go between China and Canada. Consequently, he starts getting orders from a health food store in Hong Kong, and they're ordering wooden pallets full, or he would put the 5-gallon carboy, the carboy type carrier, 5-gallon carboys, pallets full of them, multiple pallets, sending them every week to this one Hong Kong, you know, health food store. And it's good business. They're paying. Your credit card goes through, whatever, no problem. He keeps shipping. Well, after SARS goes away in Hong Kong, the first SARS, okay? A big-time attorney representing the red Chinese government comes to him and says, Frankie, what do you want for this here company? What's your big price? He said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, just if you were to sell this company, what's your be-all, end-all, big price? Frank came up with some number, and the guy said, well, I don't think I have any problem with that. We could probably get that for you in cash, you know? And then we would also want you to keep running the corporation, running the company, and doing all the things you do for a big amount of money annually. And that will then be owned by the Red Chinese military or government or whoever they are. Well, Frank Keyes, to his credit, did not sell for his pie-in-the-sky price with guarantees of him being there and staying there. God bless you, Frank. But the fact is that they used the mezzo silver in Hong Kong. And if you go back and look at studies, I remember, I think it was an Arizona State study about colloidal silver. It was either Arizona University or Arizona State. It seems like it was in the late 70s. And basically it said that the colloidal silver kills viruses, bacteria, and parasites. It also said some other things about what it might kill in the test tube, but I'm not going to put that out. You can go look that up yourself. So at the turn of the 20th century, not the 21st century, your great-granddaddy, who was the doctor then, his kit would have colloidal silver in it. They used to use it to help to purify water or milk. They used to throw it in the water cans on the Conestoga wagons that went down the Santa Caligan trails, Santa Fe, California, Oregon trails, come out of Independence, Missouri. Santa Caligan. Now, a lot of people make it themselves. That's your business. You do it. I also have one of those kits. But while I can, I get the best quality, the mezzo silver, okay, from Purest Colloids. And I've been taking that now for a number of years, about 17 years on colloidal, on mezzo silver. But prior to that, I took for a number of other years other good quality colloidal silvers. I am not turned blue. I've taken 3-4 eyedroppers full a day. I've drank more than that. Last time I looked on colloidal silver, they said that to be toxic, if it's proper quality, I mean, you can look it up. They did a study that the toxicity of it would be about, if you really have a problem, if you drank 50 gallons or more in a week. Well, if you drank 50 gallons of water in a week, that might kill you too. So, if you're doing that, I also know that Dr. Cass Ingram, who had the Buffalo Grove, he was a high-quality Chicago suburban area doctor, big time, big time. He had a virus that he could not, in all of his medical stuff, could not cure it or get rid of it. He went to Mayo's as the last ditch. Mayo said, you got to go home and prepare your, get ready, because they couldn't figure it out. He goes home and a neighbor brings him oregano oil, oil of oregano. He starts to take that and he starts to feel better. And by Jiminy Cricket, the virus goes away. Well, he starts looking into it, and Dr. Cass Ingram went to North American Herbs and Spices. He went over to the Mediterranean. He found the best quality oregano on a hillside, mountainside, in an island somewhere there. And he brought it back, and they refined a process to produce out of that 73% carb recall, 73% carb recall, and that this stuff will kill viruses, bacteria, and parasites. Why am I hitting hard on that word parasite? Because I've heard, allegedly from the research that I've seen from various doctors. Okay? Kristen Kingston, a researcher, Mikovits, McCullough, all the different doctors, that there's a parasite called Hydra vulgaris in the vaccines. That also, allegedly, the the graphene oxide or the graphene hydroxide, after it's been changed to a negative valence or whatever, electrical charge, that starts to create, in a sense, a parasitical type scenario and does all the stuff along with the other components of the allegedly the vaccine. To stack up your red blood cells like they're sticky red gumdrops you get at the theater that's they're 10 years old. In the case there, they've been there so long. The old gumdrops, you know, in the movie theater. And then over that, remember those movies? Ladies and gentlemen, don't go into there Luciferian knife without a fight. Get ready to go to war and get ready to feed yourself and have to take care of yourself. Defend your own house, your own family. Stand for Lord Jesus. Mighty man and women of valor, use your high tech. Strike blows against the enemies of Jesus and the true America. The America that constitutes the middle right. Standing arranged, I know you're good. Thank you, LaPua. Get out. An old road and track, the well. Get you some day of fun. Keep up with your study. Because the mind is the greatest weapon. And Lord Jesus. And get in trouble with him. Say hi to you. Good night, citizen. You hold hawk prayers too. And any assistance you